The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel as written to us by Matthew. I'm going to give you the point before I read the Gospel, or otherwise I know you'll go down a different road. What you seek is what you're going to get. What you really desire is what you will become. So be careful what you really seek and what you really desire. Now set that in the back of your head, and let's read the Gospel, which otherwise is problematic, as so many of the parables are. Jesus told his disciples this parable. The kingdom of heaven is like 10 young girls who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. The foolish ones, when taking their lamps, brought no oil with them, but the wise brought flasks of oil along with their lamps. Since the bridegroom was long delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. And at midnight, there was a cry, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Come out to meet him." Then all of those young girls got up and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are all going out." But the wise ones replied, actually they sound like the selfish ones, "No, there won't be enough for you and for us." You see why it's a problematic text. "So you go instead to the merchants and buy some for yourselves." While they went off to buy it, sure enough, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went into the wedding feast, and the door was locked. And afterwards, the other young girls came and said, "Lord, Lord, open the door for us." But he said in reply, "I say to you, I do not even know you. Therefore, stay awake. For you know neither the day nor the hour." This is a gospel from the Lord. If read straightforwardly, there's really not much good news in this gospel at all. It's a typical good girls win, bad girls lose. Jesus doesn't talk in that simplistic way. You have to read the text closely. It's filled with subtle hints. This is a gospel only if you understand what it is not saying. Now, what you'd expect for an end of times gospel, and that's what this is, as the Sundays in November always are, we're accustomed to thinking of the end of time as a courtroom scene, as a judgment, as an Armageddon, a catastrophe, something to be afraid of, a big threat. Well, what do we have here? A wedding feast. So this should set you up. This is not going to be business as usual. We have Jesus talking about a wedding banquet. And instead of God being a judge or an avenger, God is, of all things, a bridegroom. Oh, this is drawing you in, if you're listening closely. And when does he come? Whenever you hear "behold" in the New Testament, it's saying pay attention to the next line. Behold, the bridegroom comes, and when does he come? At midnight, in the darkness, when you don't expect, when you're not ready. In fact, what most of us associate darkness with is trial and difficulty, when we don't know, when we can't understand. Light, which the young girls are carrying, is, of course, you know, light isn't something you really see. I know we think we do. Light is that by which you see everything else. And when light is offered as a symbol in the gospel, it's always talking about enlightenment, awareness, consciousness, the ability to see at midnight, to see when most people can't see. In other words, darkness is often the greatest teacher. The bridegroom comes in the dark. The bridegroom comes to make love with the soul when you least expect. In fact, and I bet every one of you in this room could tell a story about you learn the most in the middle of your suffering. Light, when everything's working out and perfect and beautiful, you don't learn very much, you just enjoy it. But when you're really taught is at midnight in the darkness. Now, you have to do your homework ahead of time. If you've never gone on the spiritual journey, you won't be prepared for darkness. That's what the symbol of having their lamps ready means. No one else can do your homework for you. That's why the girls can't give it to the other girls. There's no secondhand religion. I'm sorry. No one can be enlightened for you. Now, we can help one another by going on our own journey and inviting them along. But each one of you in this room, I'm sorry, you have to grow up for yourself. There's no secondhand religion. We used to say God has no grandchildren. God only has children. And you have to know the journey for yourself. But the story gets better, I think. Normally, you would expect that if this is the final state of affairs, there would be judgment on moral requirements. There's not a single moral requirement listed, only awareness, only consciousness, only inner seeking, inner desiring. The selfish little girls appear to be saying, get your own oil. But in fact, they're saying, the point is that you have to do the journey for yourself. But it gets better. That final line that probably you thought was just a throwaway line, or even a cruel line, I do not know you. I'm sure, I hope, previous preachers have told you this. The word know in the Hebrew language has, yes, this idea of mental knowledge, but it also has the idea, get ready, of sexual intimacy. We call it the same thing. In the English language, we speak of carnal knowledge, embodied knowledge. The knowledge you have of God cannot be heady knowledge. It has to be intimate intercourse, intimate exchange, that often comes in darkness, in the middle of the night. If you doubt me, go to the Bible. It says, Adam knew Eve. We all know what that really means, or maybe you don't. It means he had sex with her, right? And then when the angel Gabriel says to Mary, and she comes back, she says, but how can this be? I do not know man. Huh? This is how the word is used. Knowledge of God is not mental knowledge. It's not rational knowledge. It's not heady knowledge. It's intimate, secret, quiet, loving knowledge that you come to in the middle of the night. Behold, the bridegroom comes. And only people who are ready to know the ways of the Lord. I've met black women in my life who love to talk this way. They talk about knowing the ways of the Lord. Those who know the ways of the Lord, how the Lord works with subtlety and freedom and grace and one-on-one with each soul, as if each soul is a unique encounter. That's carnal knowledge of God. It's not in the head, it's in the body. Carne, body. Carnal knowledge is something you know in the heart and the soul and the body. That's a completely different way of knowing. And that's why in some ways our many church services frankly fall so short. And people leave pretty much as bored as they were when they came. Because it's hard to communicate carnal knowledge in this setting. It happens at midnight when you're alone and lonely and you don't understand and it doesn't make sense and you call upon the Lord and then you know His grace, His mercy, and His salvation. Behold, the bridegroom is coming, but coming when you least expect.